days I'm out in SSK, and it's pretty exciting out there. We do challenges, and every they have memory verses, and we've started a new thing this term, so if they learn their memory verse, they get a click on their card, on this little card, and if they win a challenge, they get a click, and then they can cash their clicks in for the click shop. And so there's, you know, certain things in the shop cost one click or two clicks or three clicks or four clicks. So they had to go shopping and spend all their clicks today because some of them saved up their clicks. And so that's some of the exciting things. But every term we have a theme, and it runs through now junior youth, SSK. Creche didn't quite do this one because it's a little bit probably big for them, but normally it's a flow through. And so this term we have been doing baddies of the Bible. Does anyone know some baddies? Not the SSK kids because I've learned. Judah, yeah. King Herod. Come on, guys. Anyone that knows their Bible? Delilah. Satan, yeah. Anyway, so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to cover some of the baddies that they've been doing in SSK, that we've been learning about in SSK, and then the next step from that. So the first baddie started right at the beginning. The very, very first baddie was the snake. So the snake came into the Garden of Eden and tricked Eve into eating the apple, and then she convinced Adam to eat the apple, and then sin came into the world. So pretty much he is the ultimate baddie. He's actually the devil, pretending to be a snake. But well, maybe not the first one. So, and yeah, so ultimately from this snake, sin came into the world because Adam and Eve decided to eat the apple. They were told by God not to. They did. And since then, well, things haven't gone so well, really, in the world. But our next baddie is, do you know who this might be? Cain. He is the first murderer in the Bible. So he's actually, this quite quickly, he's Adam and Eve's son. So didn't take long for bad things to happen. So Cain and his brother Abel, yeah, well, he probably was pretty cut, actually, because he was out working the land. So anyway, Cain and Abel were asked by God to bring a sacrifice. Abel, the younger brother, brought the best lamb to sacrifice to God, and Cain brought the leftover grain. God wasn't happy with Cain's offering and was happy with Abel's. So Cain got really mad and killed Abel. And then God asked him where Abel was. God knew actually what had already happened, but anyway, he asked Cain where Abel was, and Cain said, I don't know, I'm not my brother's keeper. So he lied. After that, he did feel a bit stink. So yeah, he's the first murderer of the Bible, which is not really the best thing to hanging over you for the world generationally to read about. But yeah, the next one, do you know who they might be? The SSK kids do. Who is it? Yes, Queen Jezebel and King Ahab. Now, King Ahab, he's sort of bad by association. He really, King Ahab is just a weak, spoilt little brat that couldn't make any like firm decisions and was influenced by his wife. But it all started with they have this palace, and they looked out and they saw this vineyard, and Ahab wanted the vineyard for his vegetable garden. And it was Naboth, who was a godly man, had this vegetable garden, or this vineyard, and had been in his family for generations. So King Ahab went over to Naboth and he said, I'd really like your vineyard for my vegetable garden. And Naboth was like, well, no, because God's given this vineyard to me and it's been in our family for generations. So, and Ahab was like, well, I'll buy it off you. And Naboth was like, no, I'm not selling it. It's not up for the taking. So Ahab went home and he had a little sulk because Naboth wouldn't give him the vineyard. And Jezebel was like, oh, honey, what's wrong? He's like, Naboth won't give me the vineyard. So she's like, sweetheart, I'll sort it. So then she goes to weave her devious ways. And she went and spread rumours about Naboth and that he was this horrible person. And she got people to stand up and say that he'd done all these things that he hadn't. And they killed him, Naboth, and then they got the vineyard. But in all of this, before the rumours were spread, Elijah, who was a prophet, actually went to Ahab and warned him, like, don't go, don't just leave it be. Don't go and sell it, just let it be, leave Naboth in his vineyard, or if anything harms him, you're going to die and dogs will lick up your blood. So I would normally take that as a pretty severe warning. He didn't. So after that, Ahab actually felt a bit resentful. Not resentful, like he felt a bit stink about Naboth being killed. But anyway, later on in the years, the prophecy came about and Ahab went to war and didn't want to be dressed up as a king because he didn't want to be killed, you know, for the armies to see him and kill him because he's the king. So he dressed up as a soldier, just a lowly soldier, and he got caught with a stray arrow and died. And coincidentally, dogs came and licked up his blood. And then later on, oh, it gets worse. Jezebel was putting on her makeup in the castle, and her servants, because she's not a very nice person, by the way, servants conspired and they threw her out the window, and the dogs ate her. So, listen to Elijah. So, our next... There are some exciting stories in the Bible, so I recommend you read it. It's not boring. Anyway, then our next baddie, King Herod. There are actually a few Herods in the Bible. This Herod, this King Herod, is when Jesus was born. He heard that Jesus was born by the wise men who were looking for Jesus. They came to Herod's castle thinking that Jesus would be there. We know he wasn't. And then he plans to kill all baby boys under two because he wanted to take Jesus out at the start of his life. God visited the wise men and Joseph in a dream, and Jesus, they took, went away at night, and so obviously Jesus was saved. So another baddie. Sorry, now our next baddie. We're moving to the New Testament now for our next baddie. Who knows who this might be? Judas. Judas, he is, yeah. So Judas, one of the ultimate baddies, really, because Judas was one of Jesus' disciples. So one of Jesus' best mates. Judas hung out with Jesus in his ministry, so saw Jesus' miracles, saw what Jesus was doing, saw Jesus' heart for the people, listened to Jesus, spent time with Jesus. But he didn't, and in the end, he betrayed Jesus by going to the Pharisees and saying, oh, if you pay me, I'll give up Jesus so you can kill him, which is a pretty stink friend. This one really surprised me with Judas. Like, you would think spending time with Jesus one-on-one, like seeing him, that he would have got it and got Jesus' heart. But he missed the boat, really, and he didn't capture Jesus' heart. Really, I think he was probably there for the, oh, check me out, I get to hang out with this cool dude that everyone likes, and I'm pretty awesome, and I'm proud of, you know, his clique. And I think he was more in it for the fame. And when things were starting to turn to custard, Jesus is getting closer and closer, and the Pharisees, they're wanting to take him out. He's like, man, I don't want to be... like, associated with and get in trouble, how about I find, you know, I'll get some money and I can get out of this situation. So, right at the Last Supper, Jesus knew that Judas was going to do this and said to Judas, off you go, go do what you need to do. So, even then, Jesus almost is given a way out. Like, he could have said, oh, no, it's okay, I'll stay. But he still went ahead, also then knowing that Jesus knew what he was going to do. So he then obviously went and he got paid 30 pieces of silver, which I guess I was trying to work it out because he used it to buy a field, so maybe it works out at like 30,000 for a cheap field. So he gave Jesus up for like, in today's time, maybe 30,000. I don't know. But in the end, he hung himself in the field that he brought because of the remorse. But yeah, Judas is the one that sort of, I think, oh man, dude, you like hung out with him. You should have got it. But if we look at more closely, we did do other baddies. If you want the stories in more detail, ask the SSK kids because they do know the stories. But if we look at the characteristics of these baddies, what do you think some of them might be? If you're looking at the characteristics of them. Selfishness. Pride. Jealousy. You know, greed. Scared of having their power removed, you know, like with Herod and then like, and Ahab, like, worried about their power and losing that front of who they were, their positioning in society. A lot of them were power hungry. And I was like, you know, oh, the Bible writes about these baddies because they're really bad. Yeah, all of them did end up being, yeah, pretty much. Then all of them ended up with not such a good ending in their lives either, really. But when I look at them, I'm like, oh, well, they're so bad, and they're written about in the Bible, and they're the baddest of the bad. Yet when I was thinking about it and moving through, you know, I didn't really think about this at the start of when I was planning the SSK, but I was like, I thought about it more. I was like, oh, like, sometimes we have those characteristics in us. And I was like, oh, it was kind of like a God, I guess, saying to me, like, you know, you're not so perfect. You also struggle. And I was like, oh yeah, we kind of do struggle with some of the things that they, with jealousy and greed, and no, we don't want to necessarily admit it. Sometimes those characteristics come out of us. There was a poem that I've seen through Facebook and different things. It's not a Christian poem, but it kind of does lead us into the next thing, and it's you might have seen it if you've seen it on Facebook, or it's been around for a long time, but it's called The Two Wolves Within Us. It says, one evening an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside of people. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. I was like, You know, like, we're actually all born sinful. We don't have to be taught as a little kid to do bad things. Like, parents would know this. Your kid's going, you need to teach your kid the right way, not, you know, they do naughty things. We do naughty things because it's in our nature to be sinful and to do bad things. Because, you know, of things that gratify us. And that's where it comes into about what kind of path you choose. Are you wanting to choose, like, God's path because it's our own choice? Or, well, ultimately, the other path, not of God. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, so flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You know, God actually wants us to pursue him. Like, he wants us to pursue him and seek out his characteristics. He's all of those characteristics. He's the perfect, like, the love, joy, peace. He's all of those perfect things, and he wants us to pursue those characteristics, which is always, it's really easy to pursue those in good times, right? You know, when everything's going well, It's really easy to be kind and generous and loving and all of those things. When things are going sweet, super easy to do those things, right? Well, for me it is. When everything's going sweet, I can be kind and, you know. It's when things get hard that some of those the not so nice characteristics come out. When someone's mean to you or says something not, you know, something that's not nice or something doesn't go to plan, that's the times where those like baddie characteristics can come out. What doesn't mean my initial things when things go wrong, I want to come out fighting and take down the person that was mean to me, and I want to like punch them. And I get real angry, and I want to come out fighting, all guns blazing, to take them out, because I'm going to teach them a lesson. And some of you may have seen that in me at times. Alan knows. And I know even when I've had really hard stuff coming, it's times when even with God that I'm like, nah, I'm not praying to you because you could have stopped it. You know, like when we lost the baby and people wanting to pray, I'm like, oh, he doesn't deserve my prayers because he didn't fix it. And so that's my initial, like, it's the initial reaction. And I have to take a step back and it's like, oh, okay. And that's when you take that step back and God's Spirit just whispers into you, or into me, that small whisper, like, just chill out. Remember that I died for them too. And one of those is sometimes the most humbling. And in James 1, 12 to 16, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, so heaven. When God has promised which God has promised to those who love him, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. So, you know, we are going to face hard times in life. We live in a fallen world. So there's going to be stink things that happen, but we have a choice about our reactions, really. And it is about not giving into that sinful way, taking that step back. You know, it's easy for me to stand up and say that, oh, you know, take a step back. But it's a good reminder for me to take that step back and remember if someone's hurt you that God actually died for them too. I know when things happen, I've been reminded sometimes, like going into a tough day, it's to remind ourselves, putting on the armour of God, sometimes to actually even physically do it. And I know Jules came and preached a word about this earlier in the year. It was earlier this year, wasn't it? Was it last year? I don't know, it all merges. Anyway, putting on the armour of God, which really actually then prepares you, even if you like physically pretend to do it, prepares you to then seek out God's characteristics. And the armour of God is found in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. It says, to end my letter, I tell you, be strong in the Lord and in his great power. Wear the full armour of God. Wear God's armour so that you can fight against the devil's clever tricks. Our fight is not against people on earth. We are fighting against rulers and authorities and powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against spiritual powers of evil in heavenly places. That's why you need to get God's full armour. Then on the day of evil, you will be able to stand strong. When you have finished the whole fight, you'll still be standing. So stand strong with the belt of truth tied around your waist. And on your chest, wear the protection of right living. On your feet, wear the good news of peace to help you stand strong. And also use the shield of faith with which you can stop all the burning arrows that come from the evil one. Accept God's salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit. The sword is the teaching of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayer and ask for everything you need. Do this and you must always be ready. Never give up. Always pray for all of God's people. So it comes down, and I was talking this with SSK. What you really, like, there's three things that can help you seek out God's characteristics and choosing that right path. You know, making a commitment to God's family, becoming a Christian. The first thing and like the most important thing. And it's like, yeah, I wish I could, like, as I'm getting older and stuff, I'm just becoming like, man, I want to take people with me to heaven. I don't want to leave anyone behind. So, like, seriously, that's the most important step. Making a commitment to God's family, you won't regret it. The next one, like, read the Bible. It's God's, like, instruction manual. The more you read, too, the more you actually want to read. Like, when I'm reading in my devotional, I'm like, oh, man, this is... Even stuff I've read before, I get more different things out of it. And, like, you're like, oh, and it helps you seek God's heart. Like, the Bible is God's heart. And go to church. Heads up, you've all done great because you're here. Like, go to church, and it's actually nourishment for your soul. Like, you don't have to, like, oh, I'll go to church when I'm perfect, or I'll become a Christian when I've sorted my life out a little bit more. Like, none of us are perfect. We're all on the journey. So, yeah, like, those are three things, the most important things that I'd want to get across. So in the end, it's your decision, but I guess the last slide, which wolf are you going to let win?